At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back in another episode of The Challenge 36 is in the books. I am once again joined by John and Annabelle to recap what is episode 10 of MTV's The Challenge 36. And I got to say, what in the world just took place on my television screen? What did Devin say to Gabby to get that outcome? I have no idea, which is why it's a good thing I have two co-hosts, because maybe they can figure it out for me. John, Annabelle, you've watched a lot more Challenge than I have. How in the world did Gabby not convince Devin that, duh, it's a female elimination, and duh, the only person in this house easier to beat than Amber M is Amber M? So what in the world was going on here?
Devin, no matter how chaotic the energy he brings to this season, he's a smooth talker sometimes. And sometimes he can just talk his way. He talks his way through Gabby literally hating him to doing what he wanted.
Yeah, Devin is a master manipulator. He's really good at the political game. He's kind of, to make a Game of Thrones comparison, he's sort of like Littlefinger. He's never like at the forefront of everything, but he's kind of behind the scenes pulling the strings. So I think he just got in her head. And it was unfortunate for Gabby this week.
Yeah, and what's so obvious about this is that it was her idea with Amber B. And that's what's so sad, is that like Devin so badly wanted to throw in one of the big guys, Josh or Nani or whatever it was. And once they realized it was a women's elimination and they knew it was going to be a women's elimination, Gabby still didn't stand up to him and throws in Amber B and literally hands Amber B a spot in the final. I mean, this was a joke from the moment that the whistle blew. I like that there wasn't a commercial break. They barely had any people talk. I mean, this was a 3-second challenge, one of the biggest lopsided contests so far of the season. But like, man, it's just crazy how all of that went down. And I'm baffled. I'm confused. And I don't understand why Gabby didn't try to convince Devin at the end here. Like, yo, this is my chance. I really need to do this.
I think part of it came down to the fact that Gabby didn't want to be the person sending Amber M home. And I think like her friendship with Amber M kind of played into it a little bit. I think she saw a hall brawl and she froze. And it's like, because a hall brawl is just such a physical challenge. You have to be in the right mindset to know that you're going down and to know you're going down for a hall brawl. If you're not prepared for a hall brawl and that's what you see, there are a lot of people who would be like, no, I'm okay. I'm not going to go run at this right now.
Yeah, I think even knowing you're going to beat Amber in that challenge, it's still terrifying because that's such an easy thing as well to get injured in. No matter who you're going up against. I mean, you go up against somebody half your size like Amber B was doing tonight, and you could still easily get injured just because that's not an easy thing to do. I mean, we see it all the time in the NFL or in rugby or something like that. Somebody gets injured who looks like they should have every advantage going into that, and they don't because it's two forces running at each other. I honestly am shocked that this actually still goes on TV nowadays because I just feel like it's so dangerous. But they tried to spice it up for the female elimination, and there was just no spice to it at all. I mean, I don't know what was going on in this. And it's really not a knock on Amber M. This is not the challenge for Amber M. She's not going to beat anybody in this ever. It's just not going to happen. So, but I do understand like Gabby being scared, but I mean, at this point, just like there is no more of a lock than you winning a hall brawl against her. It's going to take a real freak accident for you to lose.
Especially because Amber M was already like the house vote at that point. So you knew she was going in. And even if you weren't mentally prepared for a hall brawl, which I totally understand her panicking and freezing up there, it is a very physical challenge. We know Gabby's fit, but she's not one of the larger girls there. She wasn't going to, you know, probably bulldoze anybody, even Amber M. But yeah, that was definitely a missed opportunity for sure. I think her nerves and her kind of inexperience with the game just kind of got the best of her there, and she just decided to play it safe.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think inexperience is the perfect word to describe it. I think had she been on her second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth season, she's going down there. Because once you saw, I was so confused why they were so convinced that it was a female elimination for pretty much the entire episode. And then when I sit down and I see that it's a hall brawl, like Devin knows it's not going to be him. They're not going to do two male hall brawls in the same season. At least maybe they have in the past. But to me, that just seems like a lock that, like, yeah, this is going to be a female elimination. We saw it earlier in the season with, I forget what it was, but it was, you know, we've seen that a couple times now where it's a different iteration. I'm sorry, with the, when Jay was eliminated, it was the same thing as what Natalie had done. Yeah. You knew it was going to be male elimination. So I figured like Devin would just be like, all right, just go down there and do it. And Gabby didn't try to convince him. Devin didn't want to do it. And really it looks like a political decision to send down Amber B and Darrell, because you're not going to piss anybody off. Because it's two rookie women going against each other, or you're giving Darrell and Corey their chance. Mm-hmm. But for Devin to have the power and this to be how it plays out is so incredibly disappointing.
Yeah, I was, as soon as Devin and Gabby won that daily, I was so excited. I was like, yes, Devin's going to bring this nice chaotic energy to spice things up in the house. People are going to be fighting to see who goes down there and stuff like that. But in the end, it's just this Big Brother alliance running everything again. It's like they've taken the worst part of Big Brother, which is these major alliances running the show, and they've brought it over to the challenge now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Annabelle? Certainly makes for some stale television, that's for sure. Phil, I feel bad that this is your introduction to the challenge as a series, because I don't think... It's not the worst season I've seen, but it's certainly nowhere close to the best, at least as of right now. So,
yeah, and I think like it started off very hot and it was exciting, and I think John was right with the Big Brother alliance is just running everything, and nobody wants to stand up to them at all, and it just makes for really boring TV because we haven't seen any swaps in terms of partners, mm-hmm. we're not seeing anything exciting like that, and then to sit down and watch. Like Devin with the power and have his Big Brother Sucks lounge, which is hilarious. I love that. That's amazing. But nothing comes of it. And so everybody's kind of just giving in to what they want. And it's like, why are you doing that? Like, I just don't understand why eventually one of them is going to go home. And they're not all going to be running the final. Like, it's just not going to happen. Josh isn't going to be running the final. Nani is honestly hurting herself by being part of this Big Brother alliance, I feel like, because she's not getting chances from people like Devin. And now she's got too many allies who don't have gold skulls or anything. And who's she going to go up against to beat at this point? Okay, she's going to go up against Amber B. I know Amber B just went up against Amber M, but that doesn't mean that Amber B is a pushover by any means. So, I don't know. I just feel like the Big Brother alliance is just going. It's unstoppable right now, and it's made for pretty boring last couple of episodes, even when you think something big is happening that's going to mix it all up.
Yeah, and I mean, that is anyone who has watched the last several seasons of Big Brother know that's exactly what the problem people are complaining about in Big Brother now, too. So the fact that MTV just cast too many Big Brother people in this season.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have their foothold because they only one of them was a rookie this year. Two, if you count Lolo as well.
Hmm.
But there's so many of them with this one common thread that it's making it easy for them to align together.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think MTV is in a little bit of a casting pit, so to speak. Like they found a bunch of Big Brother people and, you know, they're good at challenges and they're fairly likable people. So they're like, great, we'll just keep recasting them. Cause I think a lot of kind of the challenge staple vets have either, you know, they're not playing right now. They didn't want to do it during COVID or they've like moved on with their lives. So a lot of the people who brought the entertainment and kind of that spice every season, like we don't have Johnny Bananas right now. Like Zach and Jenna, they were a staple on the show for a while. They are pregnant and about to get married. So, you know, people are just kind of moving on, and I think they're trying to figure out who, like we've talked about in previous weeks, who's going to be the face of the show kind of moving forward. And I really hope it doesn't end up being the Big Brother people, just because, like we've talked about, it's dry.
Well, and I think especially somebody like Josh right now, he's nuts. I mean, I always say when it comes to reality TV, I hate to get on somebody's case when they're being exploited by reality TV for my entertainment. Like, that is what's happening. But oh my God, is he crazy? Like, he's crazy right now. And every week we see it more and more, to the point where, like, he's dangerous. Like, he's a weird guy right now. And I don't know if he's like that in real life. I'm sure he's fine. He won Big Brother. He can't be that bad. But whatever's happening on that show, whatever time of his life he is in on this show, he's dangerous. And it's scary and it's weird. And like him screaming at Devin after Devin puts in Amber B, and Darrell, him trying to get Devin started. He was instigating Devin more than Devin instigating him when he comes into the room and is trying to impede on that. There's something off about Josh right there. And I don't know if I'm going to watch the Challenge 37. I really don't. I mean, it's going to totally depend on where Survivor's at, where other things are at. But I definitely would not want to watch Josh on the Challenge 37. I feel like that's bad TV. To me, it reminds me of Brandon Hance right now. And while it's not at that extreme of Brandon Hance, because Brandon Hance was different, it's pretty damn close, because Brandon was talking about killing Phillip, and that's pretty much what Josh wants to do to Devin. So most of the Big Brothers are likable. I like Casey. Amber B is kind of like a up and down for me. Fessy, you know, he's harmless. He's whatever. But Josh is just really too much right now. And it's negatively impacting the show too much. And I wanted him to go home tonight so badly, just so he would go home tonight.
Yeah, exactly. And that scene where he comes in on Devin talking with Cam and Kyle, and it's just like, he's there doing exactly, I think he thinks he's doing what Devin usually does to him, but Devin is a smart enough human being to walk away from it. Mm-hmm. And the entire house is yelling at him, saying not to do it. Like, that really tells you how fed up everyone is with the two of them arguing.
Yeah, absolutely. Annabelle?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's messy, and it's, I don't know, it's not even like drama at this point. It's just kind of hard to watch, because Josh clearly doesn't know when to walk away, when to back down. I don't know if it's a pride thing. I don't know if it's just Devin has figured out exactly what button to push, but that's just kind of a toxic duo. And definitely not one I hope we see in the future, because oil and water.
And I know people will say, oh, well, Devin's instigating him. Devin pushed him first. But at this point, like, you're grown adults. What in the world are you doing? Like, the guy's doing the same. He's got one move, you know, he's got one thing that he's doing to you, and you're falling for it every time. Fool you once, shame on me. Fool you twice, shame on you. Fool me three times, four times, five times, six times, seven times. We're out of a saying. We don't have a saying anymore. Because nobody gets fooled that many times. Mm-hmm. And so it's just irritating to me. And honestly, a lot about this episode irritated me, because it felt like there was a lot of manufactured drama just from people kind of having mental breakdowns. Mm-hmm. And Lolo and Nam was another one of those where I have done a complete 180 on Lolo. I'm so done with it. I don't want to deal with it anymore. She can try to villainize Nam as much as she wants, but at the end of the day, at least what we're seeing from the edit, she's gone. She's lost it. Like, she has just lost her mind. And I don't know what that is, but there's something with her that is also off. And to watch that and Josh for like 30 minutes of this episode wasn't great. I liked both challenges tonight. I mean, the second one would have been better if Amber M actually could put up a fight. I mean, it would have been nice to see Cam go up against somebody in the hall brawl. I mean, that would have been a lot more exciting. Not Amber M. Cam could have gone up against somebody, not Amber M.
With Anissa or somebody. Yeah, that would
exactly have been Anissa, Nani, you know, I mean, somebody. That would have just been fun to watch. But I mean, Casey versus Cam, that's what I want to see. But, you know, that first challenge I really liked. I liked that, you know, it was physically taxing and all of that. But man, Lolo has just completely lost it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if the editors are even trying to make us want to side with her. And maybe I'm missing the point, and I'm just overly on Nam's side because I'm just doing that. But I don't see what Lolo's side is here. I feel like it doesn't seem rational, and maybe one of you disagree with me, so if you do, speak your piece.
I think what it comes down to is Lolo's coming at this entire situation from an emotional standpoint, where she's tired and emotionally drained from working with Nom and then just not working together. Whereas every time we're presented with Nom's argument, it's a very logical argument. It's a very easy argument to follow. And he's rationalizing every aspect of it for us. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is why we're more agreeing with Nom on it than we are with Lolo, despite the fact that both of them have the same conclusion.
Yes, exactly.
Like, they both want the same thing. They both understand that they don't work together. They both want to be separated. They make the stupid mistake of vocalizing that in deliberation. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, is there anything that would make me vote for you less than that?
Yeah, absolutely.
But where the audience is going to be more inclined to agree with Nom, despite the fact that these opinions are the exact same, because of the way Nom presents himself, even in deliberation, where Lolo's like crying because she wants to be separated from Nom, Nom is expressing himself, and it's just like Lolo can't show her best potential in this partnership, and neither can I. But he always put Lolo first in his conversation about it.
And either Nom is 100% right, or he's the best gaslighter of all time. Like, it's one or the other, because either he is being totally awful and even the cameras aren't picking it up, and then he's making Lolo feel like it's her fault, or he's 100% right. And I'm definitely on the side of it feels like Nom is 100% right. I mean, when she was saying he didn't talk to her for a full week, it's like, I highly doubt that. Also, it doesn't seem like you're okay with his communication style, which there is a language barrier there. And then getting mad at somebody after you lose because he says, I don't want to talk about it, because you're insane and going to drive him crazy. Of course he doesn't want to talk about it. Also, people need that. And like when he said people just need their alone time sometimes, it's like, yeah, why is that a big deal? I just don't understand why that's such a big deal right now.
This just seems kind of like the perfect storm against Lolo. Like, this is not a good environment for her. Like, just being stuck in a house with all these people, most of whom are like significantly younger than her. Like, she doesn't have a lot of pre-existing relationships. She has a partner who is a completely different communication style. Nom definitely seems like, obviously, apart from language barrier, he's definitely an introvert. Like, he does not want to go over everything all the time. You got to leave him alone, let him recharge. And you bring in the fact that she's upset because they haven't won anything yet. She doesn't have a school. They haven't won a daily. I mean, I think that's just causing her psyche to sort of break down. And it's kind of upsetting to see. Like, for a while, it was, you know, it was drama. And now I agree with you, Phil. I think it almost does feel like manufactured at the expense of her mental health. So people in the comments are talking about maybe Lolo ends up quitting, because in the preview they were talking about, oh, security breach. So maybe Lolo quits and they bring back either Amber M or Teresa or someone else previously eliminated. So what are y'all's thoughts on that?
I think Lolo's probably at a point now where she's just had it. And I think it's part of it's just the competitor inside her. I think she's just not used to losing this much.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And like, that's what's grating on her, in conjunction with the fact that she's has terrible communication with her partner and she doesn't feel any connection to her partner. And all that piling up together is just leading her to this point where she is done. She's clearly done. You saw it in deliberation today. Like, I would be very surprised if she doesn't quit at the beginning of next episode.
Okay, so here's my question then. Why did they focus so much on Nom's back giving out if nothing came of it at all and it was never mentioned again? Is there the potential that Nom actually quits the game, being tired of Lolo, injuring his back? I don't know how serious it is or not. And then almost as a fairness thing, they actually bring back one of the men who was eliminated, because they have brought back a woman earlier in the season. Just a thought, because I did find it weird that they focused on his back when nothing came of it.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And it would be a great way of like subverting our expectations with it. Mm-hmm. And it could be a very big positive for Lolo, which is really all I want to see at this point. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to see people getting this worn down to the point where it's just uncomfortable for us to watch at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, and that was always – oh, go ahead, Annabelle.
Oh, I was going to say, I did not think about that with the back thing. But, yeah, no, that could definitely be an idea. I wonder, like, which of the men they would bring back. Jay, maybe?
Who was the last man eliminated? Oh, Michi.
It's Michi, right? Yeah.
I don't think they're bringing Michi back, just like I don't think they're bringing Amber M back. But
no.
I mean, people, I mean, Courtney C says, I don't think Nam is the type to quit. But what if it's not a quit? What if it really is like, if it's a med? Because we've seen a lot of those this season. And this actually would even it up. I do believe if Nam were to quit, that would even it up in terms of two men were pulled, two women were pulled. Or would it be three women were pulled? Because no, I know
three women were pulled.
It was Natalie, the firefighter, and Nicole. The other girl.
Nicole and Olivia.
Olivia.
Who?
Liv.
Oh, Liv. Liv. Yeah. I thought you said Aaliyah, and I was like, there is no way somebody Olivia, on the season was... Oh, okay. That's what you were saying. Okay. So, yeah. So the three of them, and then there'd just be two men because it would be...
Yeah.
Okay. So...
Mom and Leo.
Yeah, so maybe they wouldn't do that, but it's weird with the security breach. Maybe that's just a way to throw us off, considering there has been a security breach already. Maybe it's a way for them to extend the season by a week. I don't know why they want to do that to me right now, but maybe that's what they want to do. But go ahead, John.
I was actually thinking, based on the preview we got last week where TJ said no one's qualified to win my final, that maybe that's what the security breach is next week.
Meaning
that, like, oh, you guys all have gold skulls. Now you don't have gold skulls.
Oh, God, that would be brutal. Or, like, if – well, you know what the security breach is? Simple. It's a men's elimination, and one of the men who has a gold skull is going to have to go up against somebody, and they're calling that a security breach. That's literally that's what it's going to be.
Yeah,
I think that's actually exactly what it's going to be. Hmm. Huh. Okay. Well, that's what I think. But – I mean, I'm not enjoying it. I mean, I am enjoying it. It is entertaining, but there's certain aspects of it that feel overplayed. And Josh and Lolo are two of those things that to me right now just feel overplayed. It feels exploitive. And it feels like when Brandon Hance was asked to come back to play again, they knew it was going to be bad. When Colton Cumby is asked to come back to play again, you knew it was going to be bad. Why are you bringing them back? You know it's not going to work out for these people. So why are you doing it? And it's to exploit them. And I just feel like maybe not with Josh. Maybe Josh really is just going through a bad time while the season is airing. But yes, it's Lolo's first time, but you know what you're going to get from Lolo because she's been around before. And Josh, you have to know that this man's got a crazy temper. It just feels like they're being exploited, and the sooner that both of them are gone, seriously, the better I think the season will be, because I want the chaotic energy of like CT and Big T and Devin and Casey and Nani and Darrell and Fessy and Anissa and Leroy and Cam all having to battle it out. That's what I want to watch. I want to watch them all have to battle it out. And I just feel like we haven't really gotten to watch them battle it out because the last two eliminations have been unbelievably boring. I guess the last three eliminations, because last week with Teresa, this week with Amber M, and the week before that with Michi, all three of those have been incredibly lopsided. And then on top of that, like, it seems like most of what we're talking about is not fun. It doesn't feel like, oh, it's just fun MTV, let's do this, the challenge type thing, like it was at the beginning of the season when it was just like, yeah, we're here. Like, I want Kyle more on my screen instigating people. Like, that's what is fun to me, not watching Devin and Josh literally in the same room and having everybody swarm around and be like, oh God, here we go again, we all better get here while they beat each other up. It's stupid.
I actually have two thoughts about that from tonight, which might explain a little bit of like the lack of intensity going on. First off, in the elimination today, we saw a variation on a hall brawl. A variation that as soon as it was announced, I was like, oh, this is exciting. They have to like go against each other six times instead of three times. But because of the way it worked out, they went against each other once. Right? So it became less eventful than from a normal hall brawl because they put this variation on this very classic challenge out there. But instead of getting three massive head-to-head combats, it was one collision and then a bunch of near misses for it. So in trying to make it more exciting, they made it less exciting because it, in its own way, is so much easier for someone to fall, get so far ahead that it's a non-contest.
And that's what I was thinking, because if I always think about, like, what could I do and what couldn't I do? I played football. I know to get low and tackle, but if Fessy's running at me, he's going to literally kill me. So if it was this type of style for me, what would I do? Well, I think what I would do is I would almost let somebody run through and then just try to beat them with speed the rest of the time.
Foot race.
Which, granted, you're going to have to pass them back and forth, but if you can knock a ball out of their hand and chuck it across the place at some point, that gives you the lead that you need. And then you don't ever have to smash your head. I mean, we see Amber B and Amber M both dropping the balls in this one. I'm sure that if you run, I let Fessy come down. He goes and gets his ball. I run down. I get my ball. Fessy's coming at me, and I'm standing there, so I don't have to hit him. And as he's coming at me, I smack the ball out of his hand and throw it as far back as I can and then run down. Now I have the lead, and it's going to be hard for him to take it back from me. So I know that that's difficult, but that would have been my strategy because I'm not going to beat Fessy. Yeah. I'm avoiding the contact.
Right.
Which is exactly what ended up happening tonight. Not that Amber M, I give Amber M a lot of credit because she did have the courage to go in there and do what she needed to do, but she was never going to physically be able to do it. So it was an avoidance of the contact for most of this episode, because I wouldn't be surprised if she was concussed halfway through this thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't want to knock production too much because I know with them filming during COVID, and obviously they're in Iceland, so they're very isolated.
Absolutely.
They probably don't have all the materials they normally have to make diverse, interesting eliminations. Like, I mean, we've seen the same ones kind of recycled. They put a slight twist on it for the other gender who hasn't done it already, but, you know, it's more or less the same thing. But I don't know. Hall Brawl is, like, probably not the best elimination for women, because most women don't have, you know, any sort of experience, like even growing up doing any sort of tackling, or like Casey's an obvious exception because she's played like football. But I mean, yeah, that just does not seem like the best elimination for women. I mean, they did the best they could with it, but it's not what you want to get out of it. They're always going to try a way to kind of game the challenge. Like you said, like beat somebody with speed or just kind of like dodge each other or something like that. So, I mean, I kind of would have liked for them to have done a different challenge for this elimination instead of Hall Brawl, because we want to see the big boys go out at, in Hall Brawl, and like it should be exciting. And I hate that it just doesn't play out that way, especially tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I agree with all of that. And I think having, you know, Amber M be a name that's up there, like they can't change the challenge, obviously, but you know what? If you see Amber M's name come through there, you might say to yourself, hey, we should do something else tonight. Because last season, or the season before, whatever season it was, Jay almost died in this challenge because he should have not been doing this challenge. So why are we going to put Amber N in the M in there? That's not good TV at all. There's so much production interference in this show anyway. Why not? Like, why not delay this by one and have whatever the female challenge is going to be in 2 weeks be this week's? And so what if it gives Amber M a little bit of an advantage? It would have been more entertaining than this.
Yeah, absolutely.
So speaking of entertainment, here's my other theory. The reason why this season is so dull is because they brought back a bunch of people who were in relationships.
Yeah.
And we're not getting the MTV aspect of it with a bunch of people hooking up in the house.
That's fair. Yeah.
And I do think that one of the more interesting parts of tonight's episode was Fessy and Gabby. Fessy finally was able to do it. He finally broke down that wall. I love his little smile at the camera. It's hilarious. I think it's so good. I like Gabby and his interaction for sure. I think it all works really, really well. And I might have just hit my mic, but I think it all works really, really well. And then that entire storyline vanishes when that should be a key storyline, considering Devin's trying to throw in somebody from the Big Brother Alliance, and Gabby should be sitting there talking to Josh, or not Josh, to Fessy about, oh my God, why, like, he wants to throw in Josh and I'm trying to prevent it from happening. What should I do? Why was that not happening? And that is kind of a bummer. I do agree, John, having people who are in relationships, and then that's why I think we're seeing so much of Lolo and Nam, is because they're trying to force this relationship aspect down our throats when in reality it doesn't actually exist. But there's nobody else to turn to make that happen aside from Gabby and Fessy, and they betrayed that after the first 5 minutes of this episode.
Yeah, exactly. And it part of it comes to the fact that they keep bringing these veterans back for so long and that they are older now. And I think it is part of the reason why MTV is trying to get these younger people in on everything. Mm-hmm. They just haven't gotten it to the right point yet where we have enough of this younger youth infused into the season, which is wild. As Survivor fans, this is a crazy thing to even think about talking about for casting for a show.
Yeah.
But I think it's a pivotal part of what makes the challenge the challenge.
I do wonder, too, if what's starting to hurt them, and I don't know what they pulled from in the past, but that they're starting to pull from love-related relationship shows. And is that actually hurting them because these people have kind of done that in a more serious setting of like, not serious, but you're doing Love Island. The whole point is to like, who are you going to hook up with? You do Are You the One? The whole point is who are you going to hook up with? And they're pulling a lot from there. And now they come onto this show and it's a completely different vibe. And rather than the people reverting back to what they were doing on those other shows, they're kind of trying to forge their own new thing, or they're like, oh, I'm playing a different show. And honestly, the guys or the girls were a lot hotter on my last show than they are on this one. This isn't all that great. Is that a problem with who they're casting?
It's very possible. Maybe it's why they started going into the CBS casting pool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it's like causing a problem, though, because Big Brother is a super strategic game. And like, that's why we see such dominance from them right now. They know how to make alliances. They know how to, you know, get the votes on their side and be loyal. I hope they know there's no jury at the end of this, but I think like that is what they're trying to do, but it's not playing out very well from an entertainment perspective. Are they good challenge players? Sure. But it's very boring TV because they're almost overly strategic. We need almost more like, I don't know. It sucks that we're seeing people like Wes, who are always entertaining, they went home so early, get hardly any of CT. Like, CT is a huge challenge juggernaut and entertaining to boot, so.
And here's what I'll say. So this is the first time I've ever seen any of these people on my TV. I don't watch Big Brother. I don't watch any of the shows that any of these people are from. All the survivors are gone. Here's what I'll say. To me, the most interesting characters on this season, CT, Kyle, Cam, just going down the line, Corey, Devin, Leroy, Casey, Darrell, I really like now that he's actually starting to play the game, Amber B, Fessy, and Anissa. Most of those players, I do believe, are kind of challenge people. And I wonder if they're just having a hard time with who they're bringing in. Amber M is only becoming interesting because she's becoming interesting. Because she's starting to get more screen time, because she's starting to actually play the game, because suddenly she's having a lot of power. Somebody made fun of me last week for saying that she was a power player. She's a power player right now. I know that she was blindsided, but now she has a gold skull and she's still with Darrell. Like, I'm scared of it. And she kicked Amber M's ass. And even though it's Amber M, people are still going to be scared of that. And they're going to think twice before they go up against you. Like, that's just a fact. So the people I'm most interested in, I think, are kind of these challenge pro type people who I'm sure when they first started playing, or in the case of Corey, they were trying to hook up. They were looking to do that kind of thing. Fessy and Gabby, like, I didn't mention Gabby here, but Gabby is starting to, you know, grow on me a little bit. But the people who aren't landing from here, like Lolo and Nam, they started off that way, but they're not doing it for me anymore. Big T, I feel like, has just kind of disappeared to the background, which is weird. You know, then you have Josh and Nani. I have nothing for either of them. Josh annoys me. I don't know Nani at all. So, like, I don't know. I'm just wondering, like, from a first-timer's perspective, how do you get to those characters but also add in what John calls the MTV factor? How do you make all of that happen where you can create new, young Kyles but also have Kyle want to go out there and hook up with somebody and not just be, like, trying to troll people the entire time?
I don't know, but MTV better figure it out.
Yeah, I guess this is why we're not in TV casting, because we don't have all the answers here. But I think part of it is the editing too. I think they just don't know how to edit a lot of the rookies, and it's sapping up a lot of screen time, and it doesn't really seem like a lot of it is going anywhere. And you know, I could be wrong, but I think the editing is part of the issue.
And I think this season started off incredibly strong, and now it's gone through a lull, and I think it could finish incredibly strong if the right people are left at the end. Mm-hmm. But you got to start weeding out some of these other players in order to make me feel better about what I'm watching and be excited to watch. Because John knows it for like the first however many episodes. Like, I'm loving this. This is great. Annabelle, you came in. It was like, oh man, like this is fun. Let's do this. And it really has just been like the last 3 or 4 weeks where I'm like, all right, but like, when does it get fun? I feel like I'm watching Survivor Thailand. Like, when does it change? I need something to change to make me feel a little bit better about this entire thing. And I don't know. I mean, Cody Keenan just said the skull twist kills drama. Same thing happened last season when they had this twist. That could be the case because people are trying to think too much about the skull and not just about like how to get to the end. I mean, tonight we see Gabby getting mad at Devin because he doesn't want to go in. He's being selfish. Well, of course he doesn't want to go in. He has his gold skull. He's got no reason to go in. Mm-hmm. I think that's what we're seeing now is there's too many people with no motivation to go down there and actually play the game to stay in it. And that's causing a lot of it, just everything. It's just causing a lot of chaos.
Yeah. And that is like, people are so focused on the strategic aspect of the challenge now because of this. And I think that is kind of a problem and why it doesn't quite feel like the challenge at the moment. And what we really need is we need that drama because you're not just throwing people down because you don't like them. Mm-hmm. Right. Because there's the skull aspect of it and everyone's trying to get their skull and everything. So hopefully, fingers crossed, when everyone gets their skull, people just start throwing people down because they hate each other. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we get some fun out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope so too. I do think the skull twist last season, it worked for me okay. That was one of my first seasons I watched of the challenge, so I guess I didn't really know any better, but yeah, I think I understand the logic behind it. Like, TJ hates quitters, and he hates people who just kind of free ride all the way to the end. But part of that is playing, like, a good political game where, like, if you make the right alliances, you're not going to get thrown into an elimination, and you can make it to the end. You might not win, but you can get there. So, I don't know. It kind of takes that element of the political game out of it when you have to worry just about your skull and, like, this week versus that week with who's going to be up for elimination and stuff like that. So I don't know. I feel like if TJ is so worried about the right people getting into the final who have worked hard all season and have deserved it, maybe they just need to do one big god awful elimination right before the finale where like the top three men and the top three women make it to the final. And that's it. Like a long multi-stage sort of challenge where people really feel like they have to work with it. That would get rid of the skull twist and people aren't free riding to the end either.
I think that's a great idea. I mean, I think that's something that makes it exciting, makes it so that somebody like Amber Ammon doesn't just get to the final because she gets to the final, mm-hmm. but also gives people more motivation to put these people in and try to still eliminate them beforehand because we're seeing almost a survival of the weakest. It's like, yes, the people with the gold skulls are strong. I'm not saying that, but nobody's really like wanting to go up against these gold skull people, like especially in the women's category. I don't know what I would say there, but in the women's right now, it's like, how can we, you know, not go up against the gold skull people so that we get all five of the gold skulls out there? I don't know. And then even with the gold skull, it's like, okay, well, first let's try to take out Josh. Okay, great. Okay. Next, let's try to take out Devin. Like, it just seems so obvious what's going to happen. Where these weaker people who have gotten a skull aren't being rewarded, even though they did what they were supposed to do. And the strong people who are just kind of hanging out and haven't had to do anything yet are like, great, I'll just wait and I'll just take out Josh or I'll take out Devin. It'll be no problem. Like, I kind of like the idea of just work your way through this entire game. And then at the end, win the game, you know, try to get to the final, have like a semifinal, whatever you want to call it, but have a thing that gets 6 people or 8 people into the final and still makes it exciting. I think that could be a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, they've done mass eliminations before. They purge in previous seasons. I think the problem with the purges sometimes is that they're not the best way, the best indicator for who the best competitor is, and some of those weaker people do kind of still sneak through them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's one of those interesting things where it's like, I was super hyped that the skull twist was coming back again this season. I thought it added another layer to the game, but it's now proving to just cause paralysis in these players. Mm-hmm. And they're just too scared to go for it. And it's clearly frustrating TJ at this point.
Well, and so, for instance, would you rather run a final against Leroy or Josh?
Josh.
Josh. Yeah. You'd rather run the final against Josh. And yet, there's no incentive to put Leroy into the challenge pit over Josh now. Yeah. Because you're trying to put somebody in so that then whoever you're aligned with or somebody else can win. So instead of, this is what I mean by the survival of the weakest, instead of trying to eliminate the strongest players so you have the best chance to win at the end, you're really trying to just make it so that there's somebody you can always beat who has a gold skull so that in case you end up going against them, you can beat them. Now you're in and they're out. So it is like you're eliminating the weaker players instead of the stronger players, which is just, it's just weird to me how it's playing out.
Yeah, and it's going to be really interesting to see how it ends up in the end of this season when we do finally get to a final and we see who actually is running it and whether or not these people are able to hold their gold skulls. Because, oh man, we need that drama at this point.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah.
No, absolutely. I think, I don't know. I feel like with the exception of like one or two, a lot of the daily challenges haven't been that physical either. And mm-hmm. the final, I mean, talk about a marathon. It's grueling. It's usually over a couple of days. They don't really get any sleep for some of it. Like, it's straight up torture for a few days. So I think if we don't end up getting kind of the juggernauts at the end, these people are going to be hurting. They're going to be in trouble. Yeah. We're not prepared for it, I feel like.
Yeah. And it almost feels like this is a way to keep around some of the strongest players. Like, I don't think Leroy has any chance of going home now. Fessy, I would be surprised if he went home, depending on what the challenge is. So it does also keep around some of the stronger players, but it kind of reminds me of Survivor with like Edge of Extinction or Redemption Island. You're going and keeping around these stronger players, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's better. Sometimes it is okay to have a weaker player in the final because they're not going to win. Will Sims making the final is fine because how the hell did Will Sims make the final? Like it's something that you just sit there and go, how did that happen? But it happened and that's okay. Mike wiped the floor with him. That's fine. But in this, it's almost like they're not okay with having anybody weak make it and doing that. You're doing it at the expense of the rest of the season because you're not getting exciting moments. You're getting lopsided eliminations while these people desperately try to get their gold skull and then hold on to it against the weakest competition they can possibly get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, luckily there are a couple of strong people who don't have gold skulls yet who will be fighting tooth and nail to get them. CT, there's just going to be a time where CT goes off, right? Like it has to happen at some point where CT just like goes complete beast mode and starts going for it. Also, TJ was wrong when he said that the B in Amber B stood for beast. Clearly, it stands for backstabber. We established that last week.
Yes, we did.
We did.
And she backstabbed yet again.
But
she got backstabbed by Gabby.
She did.
But it's okay because we can refer to her as just Amber now.
Thank God. I'm tired of saying Amber B and Amber M, so that will be a good thing.
But like with CT and Darrell still needing gold skulls, with Nani still needing a gold skull. Like, we do have people who, and Lolo and Nom, like, we have people who can at least challenge these people who already have gold skulls. At least it's not just like a Big T is the worst person without a gold skull and has to go up against Cam every week to try to get it, right? So at least we do have some of these matchups in the future to look forward to. Mm-hmm. It's just getting there at this point.
Yeah, I feel like we're stuck in this terrible middle game where it's just like, I don't know, it's not even like rising action at this point. It's just we've plateaued a lot, and I hope it does, pick back up once we get down to those matchups and kind of weed out the filler.
And I do feel like we've gotten through a lot of the weaker competitors now, but I think that it took so much time. And like, you know, any show, if you're a reality competition show in any way, your goal is to get rid of the weakest players early as a producer, maybe not necessarily as a player, but you do want to get rid of the weaker players as a producer. seasons of Survivor are better when Sonya goes home first. Like, that's just the fact. That's, you don't want Sonya making it to a spot like Christina Cha did. And Christina Cha proves to be totally useless and pretty much quits the game anyway at Final Four. And I think on this season, with all those battles happening early, the reason why it's better to have those weaker competitors go against each other early is because the excitement is already there. Mm-hmm. The excitement of the new season of, oh my gosh, we have reality TV on. This is amazing. It's there. And if it was Michi versus Devin in that episode and it's a terrible competition, great. If it's Michi versus Darrell and Darrell literally is just dragging Michi across the ground, fine, because it's the first episode. But now the stage, the bar was set. And I feel like the last couple weeks just have not lived up to that bar. Since Jay's elimination of Leroy, things have just not lived up to what we were hoping to see. I guess Cam's elimination against, or Ashley's elimination against Cam was pretty good. But Cam really beat the crap out of her, but that's just because Cam's good. But after that, it just felt like, what are we waiting for? Like, what is going on? And it's just like, okay, get me to that point of these big matchups where people are really going to start going at each other. And I guess it is coming, so we are complaining a bit much, but it needs to come faster, because now it's been almost a month of my life watching the challenge and being like, okay, like I could tell you before every single one of these challenges start who's going to win and how easily they're going to do it. And that's not a good thing.
Maybe this is the secret as to why the indentured players always go after rookies first.
Mm-hmm.
They know it's more entertaining, because that is what it is. They're TV personalities, right?
Yeah.
And maybe they just know, we get these rookies out of here right away. They have to prove themselves to get back on here. And then we get the airtime.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why this season of the challenge feels so different than previous ones. It's because that pattern wasn't followed.
Yeah.
I almost feel like the challenge, the root of it is, you know, it's a physical competition. It's a physical game. But over time, it's evolved into more of a political, social, and physical game. It's kind of like that trio. They seem, especially with the Skull Twist in this season, they seem, and with the people that they're casting with, like, Lolo's an athlete, Nam was on, like, a Beast Mode show, I think it was called, you know, just, like, really strong physical people. They're trying to get back to its core, and I think it's causing the show to regress instead of progress. Like, we don't want to watch, maybe some people do, but if we want to watch a bunch of people survive in the wilderness, we wouldn't really be watching Survivor. We would watch like Naked and Afraid or something. Like, it's a totally different show. So I think that they should embrace like the progressive, moving the game forward, making it more complicated and making it almost less about the matchups, because they put so much emphasis on it. It's like just disappointing us right now.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, I don't have much else to say about this episode, because I feel like it's been a lot of like negativity. And sorry to like the people who are watching. I know but I'm assuming if you've hung around this long, you probably have similar frustrations to how we feel, which is just that, like, I'm ready for it to pick up again. I'm ready for it to get back to what it was. And while today's daily actually was pretty good, I thought it was exciting. I liked the idea of like, you can tell people or you cannot. And Devin still ends up winning the thing anyway, even though he really has no friends. Just because he could do the puzzle, which looked insanely easy. I also like Wendell from Survivor just tweeted, like, why do they get an answer key or something like that? But I don't know. I that kind of takes a back seat to the fact that everything else just right now feels stale. And we got to get Lolo out of the game. We got to get Josh out of the game. We got to end those storylines, and we got to start getting these big competitors going head to head. And you know what? Gabby and Big T, they might be smaller than everybody else, but I would consider them at least competitors in this. And if they go against each other, you don't know who's going to win that necessarily. So give me that. Give me some of these good competitions, but I don't want to see Cam go against Big T. And I don't want to see Darrell go against Josh. Like, I'm tired of those. I want to see the best of the best going at each other. And because I feel like that should have been happening earlier in the season or in the midpoint of the season. And instead, we're delayed from it because it happened at the beginning. It didn't happen in the middle. And now it's like, all right, we got to get to the end so this can happen again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And maybe it came down to the fact that MTV is just not focusing enough on these massive explosions after someone wins a challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like it's almost too big of a cast, too. Like, you're going to have some dull parts where there's, when you have kind of the people who are at the forefront who are just less exciting or not as good of competitors. Like if they had a smaller cast and a shorter or a smaller number of episodes to fill, maybe they'd be a little bit more action packed to some degree. I mean, we're just literally stuck on a plateau here.
Yeah, I agree. And it's a low plateau, which is the bummer of the entire situation. But we have anything. Go ahead, John. What were you going to say?
I have hope. It'll turn around.
That's a good thing. Ending on hope is always a good thing. Do either of you have anything else you want to say about this, or should we end on hope?
For me, I will always have hope. Yeah, I'm good with that.
Perfect. Let's go with hope. That's all we got for tonight's episode. Make sure to become a patron, patreon.com/survivorspecialist. Lexa and I have been doing a lot of Survivor content. Finally, classic Survivor. We talked about the Kelly Wentworth will not count last night. So if you're a Survivor fan and that's how you found us, or if you're a Challenge fan who also happens to be a Survivor fan, go check out those episodes. Those are a lot of fun. We Alexa just started up South African Survivor. So that's also going on. John and I talked about A Knight's Tale in Shame last night. Don't ask me. It just happened to be how it worked out. So that was a good time. A lot of stuff going on, though. You can find us on Audio Boom, Spotify, YouTube. Find us anywhere. I say Audio Boom. God, you can find us on iTunes. You can't find us on Audio Boom, because how are you going to find us on Audio Boom? You can find us on iTunes, and you can find us on Spotify and all those other good things. So that's all I have to say about that. John and Annabelle, thanks for coming on again. Hopefully next week is a lot more exciting than this week. And hopefully it starts to end some of these asinine storylines. All right. That's it. I'm leaving on hope, not on negativity. Hope.
Exactly. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.